May the Lord help us to commence our service this evening with hymn number 391. 391. Jesus, friend of sinners here, a feeble creature pray. From my debt of sin set clear, for I have naught to pay. Speak, O speak my kind release, a poor backsliding soul restore. Love me freely, seal my peace, and let me rove no more. Hymn 391.
May the Lord help us to read from his holy word, the book of Genesis, chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel thy mother's father. Take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee the blessing of Abraham, to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. And Jacob went out from Beersheba, and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place, and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place, and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I've done that which I've spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us each prayer. O Lord, we plead for thy help here this evening. Without thee we can do nothing. We plead then, do not leave us without thee, but come, Lord, and work in us to will and do of thy good pleasure, that we may be enabled to say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do grant a truly thankful heart for thy mercies to us, thus far through another day. All thy great goodness, thy long-suffering forbearance, those countless mercies, watching over us, especially in our journeys, and for the privilege afforded us to gather in thy house around thy word. We thank thee for that word, Lord, and that it endureth forever. And we pray that thou wouldst open it up to us this evening and apply it to us. Oh, do for us what thou didst for those disciples of thine. Thou didst open the eyes of their understanding, that they might understand the scripture. And do for us what thou didst do for the prophet of old. The word of the Lord came expressly unto me. Oh, do not be silent, Lord, to us. We do beseech thee, lest we become like them that go down into the pit. Oh, speak, Lord, whatever is needed. Lord, thy sheep hear thy voice. Thou dost know them. Thou dost give them to know thee and follow thee. Oh, we would be among thy sheep. Lead us, Lord, now this evening, whether we speak or hear, into the green pastures, and favour us to feed and lie down. Lord, we pray for a little real rest. There is only one place in thy dear Son. Lord, we pray, blessed Spirit of truth, lead us to Christ, our only rest, and in his love may we be blessed, while in his name we meet. Do hear the prayers of thy people and grant, Lord, an abundant answer. And Lord, grant that expectation in our prayers, the expectation of hope founded upon what thou hast said, the faith thou dost give to believe it. And Lord, may that hope truly be as an anchor to our souls, entering into that which is within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered. Oh, for that assurance for us entered. O Lord, leave none of us to presumption. Lord, do save us from our unbelief. O Lord, the gate is so straight and the way is so narrow. Oh, we pray for the leading of the Spirit. Otherwise, Lord, we shall miss the gate and the narrow way. Oh, Lord. Oh, we pray tonight for some token of thy love and mercy to assure us that, yeah, we are in that narrow way, and if we're not, Lord, put us in it. We seek thy blessing on this people once more, even the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Saviour, their prophet, priest and king, to hear his voice, to see him by faith, to feel the influence of his love, and to know the cleansing efficacy of his precious blood, and to be clothed in his glorious righteousness, and by the gift of faith making this known. Oh, we plead that righteousness and that precious blood. Lord, we've nothing else to plead, for all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have carried us away. Oh, we plead the blood and the righteousness of Jesus, thy dear Son. Lord, have mercy on us. Through blood. And may there be, Lord, that blessed liberty of the Spirit granted tonight and to this people here, and to thy servants as they come from time to time. And be with each of thy people throughout the earth this night. We would pray for those unable to be with us through affliction or other lawful hindrance. Lord, do go to them and help them in whatever they are in. And we pray for the afflicted. Richly sanctify their afflictions as thou didst Hezekiah's. To this end, help them to turn toward the wall and to pray unto their God as he did. And do thou blessedly answer him. Lord, each one of thy people, we ask for healing, restoring mercy, if it would please thee. We would remind thee of thy name, Jehovah Rapha. Thou hast said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Do kindly knit the broken bone. We pray, Lord, for our dear friend and brother, the deacon, laid in hospital this night. Oh Lord, may he be favoured to realise, Lord, that thou dost cause it to come for correction, for mercy, or for thy land, and that all must come and last an end as shall please our heavenly friend. Oh Lord, we pray that thou would so bless him that he may be able to say with a Shunammite woman, it is well. But Lord, we seek help. There is a path to be walked, much need of patience. Lord, we pray for that grace. Lord, the patience of Christ, that's what we need. Oh, thou hast it to give. Lord, we confess our impatience. Bless us with thy patience. For thou hast said, they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. And Lord, we seek then that thou wouldst go before him and each one of us in all our untrodden steps. Thou wouldst break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron and give us the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places, that we might know that thou, the Lord God Almighty, art our God. Lord, do bless the hymns this evening. Help our friend and brother, Lord, as he labours alone at this time in the diaconate. Lord, be with him and help him. Bless the church. Grant in this church here the favour of the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. Oh, may they be all of one mind in the Lord. Oh, we do ask again that if it would please thee, thou wouldst fulfil thy promise and give them a pastor according to thine own heart, who shall feed them with knowledge and with understanding. We pray that thou would send forth labourers into thy harvest. O Lord, do raise them up, anoint them, grant them that inward call, and at thy appointed time, that outward sending. And Lord, let them dip their foot in oil and be made acceptable to the brethren, to the glory of thy great and blessed name. And Lord, do help each of us who try to speak in thy name, to declare thy word faithfully. And Lord, do grant the ministry of the Spirit, which takes forth the precious and the vile. Lord, we pray in this day for an outpouring of thy Spirit. Restrain the evil in this world. Sanctify to thy people these things. Do drive them and draw them closer to thyself. O Lord, we pray, may thy people tonight, who may even this day have suffered much in this waste howling wilderness, perhaps at work, children at school, wherever it be, and those, Lord, that suffer that inward conflict, those perhaps this day who have been buffeted sore by the adversary, and they feel breathless and like that poor man in the parable, half dead. Lord, do go to them and pour in the oil and the wine of the gospel. And bind up their wounds. Set them on thine own beast, as it were, and take them to an inn. And take care of them. Lord, do help. And we plead for our land and nation. Oh, we thank thee for thy mercies toward us, thy faithfulness, another springtime, another seed time, and we see the beauties of thy creation. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds has come in recent weeks. And Lord, we see the offspring of the birds and other creatures. And we see, Lord, the shooting forth, oh, thy handiwork and thy faithfulness to thy covenant. Make us feel like what we see. Lord, afford a spring to me. But Lord, we plead thy mercy for this nation. The restraint of the evil, the turning back of the evil forces, the tide of iniquity, the overruling, Lord, in the affairs of state at this time. Oh, Lord, we pray in wrath, remember mercy and grant us stability in government. Grant, Lord, that thou wouldst cause those whom thou hast put in power to do that which is right, and do, Lord, restrain them from doing that which is wrong, if it might please thee. And Lord, in every part, wherever there is authority, oh, we pray that thou wouldst overrule it all. Lord, have mercy in the schools, the colleges, the universities. Help those who fear thee. Provide for them and give them the courage to rightly stand in thy fear and in faith and in love for that which is right, to remove their foot from evil, to abhor that which is evil. Lord, this is not in us by nature. We solemnly confess we have a nature that loves evil and abhors good. Oh, make us different. Oh, make us more Christ-like. Lord, thou didst love righteousness and hate iniquity. Oh, do give us thy grace, Lord, that we might love righteousness and hate iniquity. Lord, help us. And prepare us for thy coming, whether it be in death, or whether we be alive when thou dost come again. Oh, prepare us. Lead us in that way that is lead Daniel in. That is, assure him he would rest and stand in his law at the end of the day. Oh, do so make thyself more and more precious unto us, that we may say with the church of old, even so come, Lord Jesus. Forgive all we ask amiss. We seek for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us sing hymn number 767, 767. Gracious Spirit, Dove Divine, let thy light within me shine. All my guilty fears remove with atoning blood and love. Hymn 767.
In dependence on the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the chapter we read, Genesis chapter 28. Verse 15. Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to the earth. The secret of this wonderful visit of the Lord to Jacob and the wonderful things which he said to him and the wonderful way in which he fulfilled it was, of course, that truth, Jacob have I loved. You know what the name Jacob means, supplanter, deceiver. Paul said to the Ephesians, didn't he? But God, his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Who would have expected Jacob to receive this blessing at this time? How sovereign is the love of God. And child of God, haven't you received blessings when you least expected them? When you felt so unworthy of them? You were unworthy of them, more unworthy than you knew. How sovereign is the love of God to Israel's chosen race. Just as the Lord enabled me point out a few things from this account, Jacob lighted upon a certain place. Now, he was going on a journey that the Lord had eternally appointed. Paul speaks of that predestination, doesn't he? And of course, he speaks of the most vital and the most blessed thing, predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. And how the Lord here had appointed this journey and this place at which he lighted. He lighted on a certain place. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. But I would just point out to you that Jacob was obeying his father. His father had told him not to marry one of the daughters of Canaan, but to go to the house of Laban and seek a wife from among that people there. And Jacob obeyed it. And he went. And did you notice that Isaac prayed is spoken of him blessing Jacob and charging him. And he says, "And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham." You see, Isaac was clearly under the leading and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because what Isaac prayed for, in a very short time, God answered it and gave him exactly, or rather gave him the promise of exactly what Isaac had prayed for. Why was that? Because Isaac's prayer was in accordance with the promise that God had given. Jesus said, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." If you ask in Jesus' name, you ask for those things which the Father has promised to give his people in Jesus' name. You can't ask in Jesus' name for something contrary to God's promise. But this prayer and this answer that the Lord gave Isaac, bless Jacob in it, may it be an encouragement to those of us that desire blessings not only for ourselves, but for our dear ones. And perhaps, as in some cases, those dear ones are far off, apparently dead in trespasses and sins. The Lord help us to pray on. Have we not obtained answers before? Is he not the same this evening? The Lord help us to go again until he appear. Well, the next thing I would just briefly bring before you is that in this dream that the Lord wonderfully appeared unto Jacob, there was this ladder. He saw a ladder set up upon the earth and reaching up into heaven. We believe that ladder sets forth Christ, who in his sacred humanity was set up upon this earth. God came down from heaven to earth. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Jesus Christ bodily. But in his being set up upon the earth and all that he did on this earth, in fulfilling the law of God in every jot and tittle, standing against the devil, then dying in his people's place, rising from the dead and ascending into heaven. You see that ladder. There is no other way to heaven. The way to heaven is Jesus Christ. And there are steps in that way. And Jacob, this night, the Lord, the Blessed Spirit, began to lead him up that ladder. Has the Lord put you on the bottom rung of that ladder? God be merciful to me, a sinner. Has the Lord blessed you with a little faith in Jesus Christ? Has he been revealed to you as the way? Or have you heard him say, as dear Mr. Senick did, come hither, soul, I am the way. We can but believe that Jacob had something of that revealed to him by the Holy Spirit on that night. But what a path lay before him. But you see, let us look forward a little in our consideration now to when Jacob lay on his deathbed. And he said, the angel that redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. The God who fed me all my days long. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. And he lifted up his feet into the bed and gave up the ghost. He had nothing to do but to die. He had by grace reached the top of that ladder. And all of it was by the leading and teaching. And what a checkered path he had trod. All of it was by the leading and teaching. It was Jesus at the beginning, and it was Jesus in the middle, and it was Jesus at the end. And I've often said, you probably remember hearing me perhaps, the last venture of a sinner upon Christ will be essentially the same. Although, of course, that last venture will be the venture of one who has proved the Lord many times. But that proving of him doesn't mean that he can look to Christ in a different way. It will still be, as the hymn writer put it, a guilty, weak and helpless worm. Oh, have you felt that today? On thy kind arms I fall. Be thou my strength. Have you felt today to be a weak thing? No strength at all. Be thou my strength and righteousness. Have you felt today to be completely wrong? Oh, that ladder. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. He said, didn't he, in his ministry, accept your righteousness, exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. And that righteousness is simply imputed. What Jesus did in his life and in his death, his doing and his dying accounted to the sinner. Oh, have you had it? Is that what you're seeking? The king's daughter is all glorious within. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of wrought needlework. This ladder then. And these promises that the Lord spoke unto Jacob. The Lord stood above it. The Father was speaking unto Jacob. The Lord stood above it. I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. You see, he was making known to Jacob that he was his God. Oh, what blessed visitations those are. When the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob makes himself known to us as our God, Because that's what the Lord was doing here. And you see, it's the one eternal living God. We want no new God, my dear friend, today. Because all those new gods may have eyes, but they see not. They may have ears, but they hear not. They may have mouths, but they speak not. Neither move they. Oh, they cannot deliver. You think of that occasion when the Lord showed himself as the Lord God Almighty and showed Baal as being nothing but a false god on the Mount Carmel. Those prophets of Baal might cut themselves with lances. They might cry and cry and cry unto their God, Baal. But he didn't answer. Oh, if we got a better God than that, how shall we know? He will make it known to us. You see, if God is our God, he has chosen us. We have not chosen him. Until he makes known his choice to us, until he puts in us his grace, and then, chosen of God ere time began, we choose him in return. And Jacob, you see, he didn't know the Lord was in this place, but he was. And that proves what I've just said. And at the end of this blessed visit, the God who had chosen Jacob influences Jacob, works in Jacob's heart. Could he refuse this God? No. No. There was no possibility of Jacob refusing this God. People speak as though men can choose whether God is their God or not. Well, I'll tell you what they'll choose. They'll choose that he be not their God. We will not have this man to reign over us. Not this holy man. Not this godly man. Not this one who speaks so faithfully and so truthfully against our sins. Not this one that is such a narrow, straight gate and narrow way. Not this one that calls us to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. Oh, but Jacob, he couldn't refuse. Chosen of God ere time began, he chose him in return. He says, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I've set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. That free will offering that the Lord brought Jacob to, you know, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. The gospel is the gospel of liberty. The Lord doesn't want your gifts, your donations, my dear friend. If it's a duty to give it, if you do it because you think you ought to do it. There was a godly man many years ago. He went to anniversary services at a chapel, and as you know, they usually have a collection after the services. Well, that man had a good hearing in the afternoon. Something of a Bethel experience. He had two banknotes in his pocket. He put one in the collection after the afternoon service, and the Lord in the evening blessed him again. And he had to empty his pocket then. Went home with nothing. But oh, he'd got that day a blessing. Priceless. That giving flowed from the Lord's giving. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Now, I hadn't thought of speaking in that way at all. So the Lord spoke these wonderful promises to Jacob. And of course, we have in verse 14 a blessing in which some of us hope. We have an interest. And how do we know, how do we have a hope that we have an interest in it? The blessing, the promise I'm speaking of is this. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All the families of the earth. Not all the people, but all the families. Every nation, every kindred, every tongue. Not in every generation. According to the Lord's sovereign purposes. What is the Lord promising Jacob here? He shall have a son. The Lord Jesus Christ, according to the flesh. I am the root and the offspring of David. David, a descendant from Jacob. The lion of the tribe of Judah. But I was saying, wasn't I, how do some of us have a hope that we have an interest in that promise the Lord gave to Jacob? We have a hope that in Jacob's seed, in Jesus Christ, we have been blessed. And how? In our measure, in the same way as Jacob was blessed. Haven't some of us had a Bethel experience? Hasn't there been a spot here and a spot there? Just mind the place, the spot of ground where Jesus did thee meet. And where he spoke to us. And where that blessed ladder, Jesus Christ, was revealed unto us. Were you ever left alone, like Jacob was at the brook Jabbok? Did the Lord ever come and wrestle with you? And cause you to wrestle with him and obtain a blessing? All of his grace. That word blessed, it means that the whole matter, my dear friend, is one-sided in regard to the salvation. A one-sided salvation. We did nothing toward it. We didn't merit it. Here is Jacob come fresh from deceiving his father. And the Lord blesses him. Sovereign grace. What did Jacob do towards him? Nothing. Have you a religion, my dear friend? Have you some things? One thing, shall I say, that the Lord has solely done for you, that you had no part in whatever, your heart softened. Did you ever feel like Jacob felt at the end of this experience? How dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God, the very gate of heaven. Well, the words of our text, and behold, behold, look, Jacob, look. With what eyes does the Lord cause Jacob to look? The eye of faith. And you know, whenever we read the Lord's word, behold, there is a scene set before us. There is something set before us that is a sight indeed. A sight such as this world cannot afford us. Return my wandering heart to thy dear resting place. Nothing in nature or in art so fair as Jesus' face. Behold. He's calling Jacob to look away from everything else. Oh, what a blessing that is. When he has caused you to look upon yourself for long enough. And then in the words of the hymn writer, he says, pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Have you been doing that today, my dear friend? He will have us pour on ourselves long enough, but not too long. Look to Jesus, kind as strong, pity join with power. And you see, this is salvation. This word, behold. Remember the oft-quoted case of the serpent-bitten Israelite. He looked and he lived. Remember John Baptist's words as he beheld Jesus walk. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, salvation in its entirety is known by beholding. What a scene. That scene of matchless grace, Jesus in the sinner's place. Jacob, transgressor, supplanter, deceiver. Look at him, that promised seed. He did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Behold this, Jacob. This is what God is beholding. The church prays for it, doesn't she, in the psalm? Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. That's Jesus Christ, anointed with the Holy Spirit without measure. But hear that God who beholds his anointed has done so from all eternity and has seen his Jacob in his son, his anointed one. He calls Jacob to behold. And behold. Now you see, it could and it cannot be seen with our natural eyes that God is with us. There are, of course, those things that God does physically in our life. For he is a God of providence, as well as of the spiritual favours of his sovereign grace. But still concerning those things which may be physically seen, from the least crumb of food, the least drop of water which we have, to the abundance of his provision in our homes, the provision of a wife or a husband, the gift of children, whatever it may be the Lord gives you in his providence. How can you see that God has given you those things? You can't see that with your natural eyes. It has to be revealed to you. Behold, I am with thee. Behold, I am with thee. What a blessing. I am with thee. I notice the word am is in italics, which means our godly translators added that word to convey better the meaning of it. I with thee. You remember the name Emmanuel, which is one of the names given to the Lord Jesus Christ, and what that name means. Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The wonder of it. Solomon asked the question, didn't he? And will God indeed dwell with man upon earth? Behold, the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. How much less this house which I've builded for him? But to this man will I look. To him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. But what makes them poor? What makes them contrite? What makes them tremble at his word? You see it in this narrative this evening. It's the Lord being with them. It isn't that they're contrite and poor in spirit and tremble at his word without him being with them. No, that is the first evidence of him being with his people. I am with them. I am with thee because I love thee. I am with thee because that is my sovereign choice. I am with thee in the person of my dear son. There is a union between him and thee, Jacob, which cannot be broken. And now, by my spirit, I am with thee. Oh, how wonderful that is. You see, when the Lord begins the work of grace with his people, he can truly say, from that moment onward, in an experimental way, I am with thee. They may not feel it. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit, and God is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. But you see, as the Lord here manifested it to Jacob, the Lord doesn't let his presence with his people remain hidden. He doesn't let it be covered. From time to time, he abundantly makes it manifest that he is with them. Behold, I am with thee. With thee to save. With thee to bless. With thee to keep thee, as he goes on to say. With thee to direct thee. With thee, Jacob, to be all unto thee. Now, how the Lord's people have to be, by the Lord, be with them, taught that the Lord is everything to them. They've got a sinful nature. There is a strong foe, and there are many false prophets. There are many false guides. There are many errors. There are many lies. There are many deceits. But the Lord is with his people. And by the things he leads them into, they are given to prove through him being with them that he really is their all and in all. He brings them into situations where what they thought they had of themselves and what they thought they could do of themselves, he brings down those pleasant pictures. I am with thee. Oh, you think of that word concerning the way, the highway in the book of Isaiah. And it says, doesn't it? The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Why not? How is it, child of God, that you, a fool, have not utterly destroyed yourself? How is it that you, a fool, have not been suffered to go back and walk no more with the Lord? How is it? Because the wayfaring man has the Lord with him as his wisdom. And the Lord corrects his foolishness. He reproves him of his foolishness. And he brings the sinner to feel his foolishness. And to look again unto the Lord and find him made by his Father and the Spirit unto us wisdom. I am with thee. I am with thee. Who shall lay anything to the charge, Jacob, of mine elect? Who is he that condemneth? When it is Christ that died, I am with thee. Oh, an advocate, an high priest, an intercessor, a defender, the captain of your salvation. This same blessed man appeared unto Joshua, didn't he? As he stood and looked upon that city of Jericho with the walls reaching so high. And Joshua didn't know who it was. He said to him, art thou for us or against us? In other words, art thou with us or not with us? And the Lord replied, nay, but as captain of the Lord of hosts am I now sent. And Joshua was shown who it was, the Lord himself. He took the shoes off his feet and fell before the Lord. And oh, how wonderfully the Lord wrought. He told Joshua and the people, and you see, if the Lord is with you, he will tell you what you must do. That voice of the Lord. Sometimes it's such a still, small voice, but there's power in it. He'll tell you what to do in the least things in your life. He'll tell you what to do in the greatest things. I am with thee. And think of how the Lord wonderfully prospered Jacob. You know, if the Lord is with you, he's going to prosper you. Now, that may not be in the way you consider prosperity. Above all, he will have the view of the prosperity of your soul in all his dealings with you, but you won't lack anything in providence. Didn't matter how many times Laban changed Jacob's wages. God always gave Jacob more instead of less. Wonderfully blessed him. You know, some of us have wondered at the way the Lord has appeared for us and wrought things. You know, when a child of God is promoted in his work or something like that, if he is in the fear of the Lord, he will see, this isn't because of anything about me. Promotion cometh neither from the north or the south or the east or the west. It cometh from the Lord. I am with thee. Have you sometimes marveled? Perhaps a worldly person has done something and you thought, why have they done that for me? The Lord who is with you is in control of all men. Behold, I am with thee. But what a blessing to have such a sympathizing, merciful, gracious Lord with you. If the Lord is with you, you won't be lacking anything. Or you'll feel to lack everything in yourself. But he being with you, he'll bring you in all your lack to him. And then you'll lack nothing, having him. Your sorrows, I am with thee. There isn't one sorrow you could ever come into but what the Lord Jesus Christ himself has felt. Not one temptation you've been tempted with or will be, but what the Lord has been tempted with. I am with thee. I am with thee. And there isn't one thing, my dear friend, of those with whom the Lord is, but what he will answer for them. What he will do for them. Faith, and this, I speak this most reverently. Faith, God-given faith, lays the burden upon the Lord. Cast the care upon him. I am with thee. Maybe a word for somebody tonight. I am with thee. You see, you think, don't you, how could God be with me? When you see yourself as such a sinner, you say, how could God be with me? Well, look at it here. Jacob supplanted a deceiver, and God says to him, I am with thee. And he caused him to believe it. And that's the secret of it. God's speaking it to your soul. And when he tells you, I am with thee, then that gives you the liberty to lean hard upon him. Well, the answer, how can God be with you? Through this mediator, Emmanuel, God with us. The love, I am with thee to pour out my precious blood for the atonement of your sins. I am with you to clothe you with my righteousness. I am with you to sanctify you. I am with you, poor sinner. I know you can't stop sinning. I will stop you sinning. I know you can't believe. I will enable you to believe. I know you can't pray. I will grant you my spirit to make intercession for you. Why is he with you? All of his love and his mercy and his grace. There wasn't anything in Jacob that could cause God to be with him. But he had been in his eternal mind from all eternity, and now he comes to make it manifest. My dear friend, we need well establishing in the blessed truths of the eternal settlements of God. And how are we established in them? In the way Jacob was established in them here. His visitation, his word. I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. How safe are those whom the Lord keeps. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Isn't that true? Have you tried to be that watchman and keep the city? You've said, I'll watch what I say, I'll watch what I do, I'll watch what I hear. I'll guard the matter. And as soon as you said it, the enemy that you were trying to keep out had already got in. What is it? Self. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. God says, I will keep thee. I will keep thee. Oh, what a merciful keeper he is. He knows what we need keeping from. He knows the propensities we have. I will keep thee. Godly woman Annette Benson, in that little book, Life and Love, she makes this observation. Jacob thought Joseph was dead. He was mourning for him. How concerned he would have been if he had known that Joseph was alive and that he was in the house of Pharaoh and being tempted by Potiphar's wife. But God kept Joseph. I will keep thee. You see, parents have a God-given command to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but they can't keep them. Yes, they have that responsibility under God to keep them safe as far as they are able, especially when they're little, till they come of age. But even in that, we have to pray to God, don't we? I will keep thee. It doesn't mean that Jacob never sinned. Jacob was kept by his God because he was bound up in the bundle of life with the Lord. There's Jacob standing. This is where God keeps him. His standing is in Christ. God cannot, he will not let a sinner fall from that standing. But what about when they fall outwardly? I will keep thee. Sanctifying the fall. Oh, that was a grievous fall David made. But now it was sanctified by God. How David, through that fall, prove the love and the mercy of God, just as Peter through his fall proved the love and the mercy of God and the power of the sin atoning blood. And think of Psalm 51. How many people have been blessed down through the generations through Psalm 51 having been written? I don't believe there is a child of God called by grace and convinced of their sin and having the word of God has not found the Psalm 51 as such a precious chapter. Teaching us what to pray. Teaching us how to pray. Setting before us God's way. leading us in it. I will keep thee. Keep thee in all places whither thou goest. What places the Lord's people come into? What places Jacob come into? Such different places, difficult places, trying places. But wherever Jacob went, the Lord was with him and kept him in whatever the place was. We've often thought of men like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and Mordecai and Esther and others, Ezekiel. What was the place the Lord brought them into? Those far off countries, those heathen lands. Daniel, he is kept by the Lord. He is even promoted by the king of that land above all the other princes. Nehemiah, the king's cupbearer. Oh, you see, it was where the Lord placed those men. They didn't place themselves there. And that place, child of God, you're in tonight, might be a very low place, it may be a very uncomfortable place, it may be a very painful place. May the Lord graciously grant you this word. I'll keep thee in all places, whithersoever thou goest. And I will bring thee again into this land. The bringing. At the appointed time, he said to Jacob, didn't he? After all those years over in that land, he said, return unto the land of thy fathers. And he constrained him to go. The direction of the Lord and his opening of the way. You see, he goeth before his sheep. And when the shepherd goes before his sheep, whatever obstacle is in the way, the shepherd goes through it. And he brings this people again. Look how wonderfully he wrought in the heart of Rachel. After the Lord had spoken to Jacob and said to him, return to thy land, Jacob went and told his wife Rachel. And the Lord had dealt with her, he'd worked in her heart. And she said, Jacob, whatsoever God saith unto thee, do it. I will bring thee again into this land. And in that, of course, the Lord completely disarmed Esau. When Jacob came again into this land, Esau came out to meet him. But God had said, I will bring thee into this land. Esau is not going to slay you. But how does Jacob have to approach this matter? I will bring thee into this land, Jacob. That doesn't mean you won't fear. I will sanctify your fears so that you have to plead with me to do it. You have to wrestle with me. But I will wrestle with you, causing you to wrestle with me. I will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee. I will not leave thee. Oh, aren't there daily, hourly, in our sins and wickedness, many, many reasons why the Lord should leave us except for the reason that he is not with us because of our righteousness. He's with us because of his covenant which he will not break. That's why he won't leave thee. He doesn't say, I won't leave thee because you're going to be so good, Jacob. I couldn't leave you when you're so good. No, I will not leave thee. However bad thou beest, however far off thou gettest, I will not leave thee. Wherever you go, Jacob, I will be with thee. Everyone else might leave you. Jacob was left alone. I will not leave thee. What a blessing. You see, the day is coming when everyone else will leave us. That valley of the shadow of death, you won't have the company of other people in it. But if, like David and like Jacob, you have the company of the Lord with you, yea, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Why will other people leave us then? They can't go with us. And that's not only true in that solemn last pass of death. It's so many times in those personal soul exercises, in those deep things, in the matter of our sin, in the matter of the salvation of our soul. I will not leave thee. Do you know what it is to feel, to come into something, and others can't come into it with you? 'Tis decreed that most must walk the darkest paths alone. I will not leave thee. Until I've done that which I've spoken to thee of. Does this mean that the day is going to come when he will leave Jacob? No. What the Lord spoke to Jacob of was not only the bringing of him back to that land, and the giving of that land unto Jacob's seed. It was the giving of heaven to Jacob. I will not leave thee until I've brought thee to heaven. I will not leave thee until I've landed thee safe in my immediate presence. I will not leave thee till I've brought thee to stand and bow among my people, join in that everlasting song. There, Jacob, you shall see my face, and never, never sin. There, from the rivers of my grace, drink endless pleasures in. You see, if he left you for a moment, child of God, you'd fall. If he left you for a moment, he knows he would lose you. He cannot leave you because he will not lose you. Peter says, doesn't he, care? By the power of God, through faith, I will not leave thee. How is this fulfilled in a believer's experience? Do they always feel the Lord is with them? No. But he is still there. When they cannot feel he is with them, how is his presence made known? They want to feel him with them. He brings them into fear and guilt and distress and trouble, an enemy arises. And now they want his presence. Now they want him to appear. And as Paul said in his sermon at Athens, they seek after him and feel after him and find him, though as Paul said, he be not far from any one of us. I will not leave thee until I've done that which I've spoken to thee of. The word he has spoken. You see, he must be with us to fulfill that word. He must be with us to work in us, to hold us. The righteous shall hold on his way. Why? The Lord has such a hold of him. And this presence of the Lord with his people. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. The word, my dear friend, upon which he has caused you to hope, he will fulfill it. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Roland Wheatley will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. John Rosier on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 399, 399. Amidst 10,000 anxious cares, the world and Satan's deep-laid snares, this my incessant cry shall be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. 399.
thank thee for thy word and thy wondrous works. Lord, favour us each of those visitations and that wondrous work still. We thank thee, Lord, we would not deny thy help. Wherein any of us have known anything of what Jacob knew, oh, fulfill thy word, forsake us not. Pardon everything of ourself. Keep us safe. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forever. Amen.